Vishnu-padāya-kṛṣṇa-daitāya-guru-tale śrīmate-bhakti-vedānta-śāmi-nityāyane Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pratyayane Nirte Shushunyavadi Vakshakshadeshatamine. So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, Smiling Face of the Lord, chapter number 74, beginning with section 19. And since there's no purport for quite a few verses, we will be moving all the way up to text 24, verse 19 through 24.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Shraishyam
Bhagavan Dasavatam
Pati
Kesha
Vai
Devata
Sarva
Gesha
Kala
Mana
Adaya
Arhati Yachutta Shraishyam
Arhati
Bhagavan Tattvatam Prati
Bhagavan Tattvatam Prati
Esha Vai Devatat Sarva
Esha Vai Devatat Sarva
Esha Kala Dhanadaya
Esha Kala Dhanadaya
Arhati Hiyachutat Shraishtam
Arhati Hiyachutat
Bhagavan Tattvatam Prati
Bhagavan Tattvatam Prati
Eshavai Devata Sarva
Eshavai Devata Sarva
Deshakala Dhanadaya
Deshakala Dhanadaya
Arhati
Arhati
Deserves
Deserves
He
Indeed,
indeed, Achyuta,
Achyuta,
infallible Krishna,
infallible Krishna,
Shraishtam,
Shraishtam,
the supreme physician,
the supreme physician,
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
the supreme Lord,
the supreme Lord,
Dasavatam,
Dasavatam,
of the Yadavas,
of the Yadavas,
Pati,
Pati,
the sheep,
the sheep,
Esha,
Esha,
he.
Vai,
certainly,
Devata,
Devata,
Demigod,
Sarva,
Sarva,
all,
Desha,
Desha,
the place for the sacrifice,
the place for the sacrifice,
Kala,
Kala,
the time,
the time,
Nana,
the material paraphernalia,
the material paraphernalia,
Adaya,
Adaya,
and so on.
Translation by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Sahadev said, certainly it is Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and chief of the Yadavas, who deserves the highest position. In truth, he himself comprises all the demigods, worship and sacrifice, along with such aspects of the worship as the sacred place, the times, and paraphernalia. Yadatma Kamanam Vishvam Kitabashacharya Atmaka Agnir Ahutayo Mantra Samkhyam Yogashtaya Pada Eka Eva Dhatiyo Sa Ayata Atmyam Vidam Yogat Atmatman Mashraya Shabhya Shujat Yavati Hant Yaja. This entire universe is founded upon Him, as are the great sacrificial performances with their sacred fires, oblations, and mantras. Samkhya and Yoga both aim toward Him, the one without a second. O assembly members, that unborn Lord relying solely on Himself creates, maintains, and destroys this cosmos by His personal energies. And thus the existence of this universe depends on Him alone. Vivedaniha karmani janayamya avikshaya iyate ayam sarva shreya dharmadi lakshanam. He creates the many activities of this world, and thus by His grace the whole world endeavors for the ideal of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Tasmat krishnaya mate diyatam paramarhanam evam chet sarvabhutanam atmanash charanam bhavet. Therefore, we should give the highest honor to Krishna, the Supreme Lord. If we do so, we will be honoring all living beings and also our own selves. Sarva-bhutatma bhutaya krishnaya nanya darshane deham shantai purnaya tatashyanam cham icchata. Anyone who wishes the honor He gives to be reciprocated infinitely should honor Krishna. The perfectly peaceful and perfectly complete soul of all beings, the Supreme Lord who views nothing separate from Himself. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes as follows. Sahadeva said, ladies and gentlemen, it is superfluous to speak about Krishna, because every one of you exalted personalities knows the Supreme Brahman, Lord Krishna, for whom there are no material differences between the body and soul, between energy and energetic, or between one part of the body and another. Since everyone is part and parcel of Krishna, there is no qualitative difference between Krishna and all living entities. Everything is an emanation of Krishna's energy, from the material and spiritual energy. Krishna's energies are like the heat and light of the fire. There is no difference between the quality of heat and the light and the fire itself. He should therefore be offered the first worship of this great sacrifice, and no one should disagree. Krishna is present as the super soul in every living being, and if we satisfy Him, then automatically every living being becomes satisfied.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Varakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sadra Jata Sahana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaita Sadruta Harijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha.
Where have we ever heard of such a person? is Krishna. Have we ever heard in this world that such a person is Krishna? This is amazing stuff here. It really is. It's absolutely awesome. What's being described here about this person named Krishna? I mean, he's amazing. He's an amazing person. Can you imagine that by honoring Krishna, that you honor all living beings, including yourself? Is there anybody else that you can honor them and everyone becomes honored, including yourself? Therefore, Krishna is one without a second. There is no comparison to Krishna anywhere. Just like in your body. Is there any bodily part which can compete with the stomach? The stomach supplies the food to every part of the body. All you have to do is give the nutrition to the stomach, and then automatically every part of your body is nourished. Just imagine how difficult it would be if every time you wanted to nourish your body, you had to nourish each bodily part separately. That would be a tremendous hassle. Gotta feed my ear, gotta feed my little finger, my toe, my knee. You have to, you know, massage it and take some chutney or something and some dal. And, you know, just maybe soak, fill up a bathtub full of dal and just soak in it, you know. Go underwater for a while and hold your breath. Just imagine if you had to eat like that, how difficult that would be. Then what about your internal organs? You know, how do you get the food into them? That would make that would be very problematic, you see. But it's so easy. All you have to do is feed the stomach, and all the bodily parts become nourished automatically. Such a simple, wonderful thing. What scientist could have ever dreamed of such a thing? Only the supreme scientist was able to design such a perfect system. In this regard, of course, the present moment, understanding the analogy that we are like the parts of the body and Krishna is like the stomach. The difficulty is right now, we don't want to feed the stomach. You see, that's the problem. We want to separately nourish the bodily parts. That I am the finger, therefore I just want to feed myself. Actually, there's an example given in the Vedas. At one time, the parts of the body, they became very disturbed. They got together, they had a meeting, they said, what is this nonsense? We are spending all our energy feeding this stomach. And what does the stomach do? He simply sits there and eats. That's all he does. We do all the work, and he just sits there and enjoys. He's just a passive enjoyer. We're working like anything, you see. The hands are cutting the vegetables, the legs are walking to the grocery store, you know. The eyes are looking in the cookbook, you know. Working, working, working. And this stomach just sits there and does nothing but eat. Enjoy the fruit of our work. So, they decided to form a labor union. And they went on strike. Don't feed the stomach. You know how they get out in front of the factory, you know, with their placards and their mantras, you know. Don't feed the stomach. The stomach is a fascist pig. Don't feed the stomach. So in this way they were going on with great enthusiasm. Don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. With great energy and enthusiasm the first day. But by the second day, they were losing their energy somehow or other. And by the third day, they were all like keeled over on the ground. They couldn't hardly even move. And they, with their last mumbling words, they said, you know, I think we better call another meeting. They called off the strike. So right now, we are going on strike against Krishna. And no, I want to be the enjoyer. Why should I give my service to someone else? I am the enjoyer. But the difficulty is we are de-energizing ourselves by doing that. We actually de-energize ourselves. And therefore, we have to artificially energize ourselves with, you know, caffeine, nicotine, illicit sex, meat eating, etc. This is artificial energy. Some people say, like, especially Indian people, and we tell them, oh, you want to be initiated, you got to give up tea. They go, give up tea? In India, that's all you hear, you know, chai, chai, chai. It's like the mantra. The whole, you know, whole India runs on that mantra. Chai, chai, chai. So, wow, to give up my chai, how will I live without it? You know? And that's, they think, that's impossible. I can't give up my tea. Actually, tea is not at all an Indian thing. Really, it isn't. You know, the British are, the British. And the British were using India to grow their tea. And of course, they were into exploiting the Indians. So they thought, well, why don't we see if we can exploit the Indians a little more? I mean, we're exploiting them a lot, but now let's see if we can exploit them even more. Why don't we get them to drink tea and we can sell it to them? We'll have them do all the work to plant it, to harvest it, and then after that we'll sell it to them. But how do we get them to drink it? They have no interest in drinking tea. So what they did, the British were very clever, very, very clever. They set up 3 tea stalls in every village. You know, come try this tea. This is we Britishers. We love this tea. You Indians, you come and try this tea. You'll love it. Come on, tea. Well, all right. So they started drinking the tea, and after a while, you get hooked on the caffeine. And then they said, "All right, no more free tea. Now you have to pay for it." So in this way, tea became. And tea drinking became an Indian national pastime. It's part of the trick of the British. Not Indian culture, it's British culture. So anyway, the energy that we derive from all of these things, you see, these artificial stimulants, if you can just take up Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then you can get unlimited energy. When you tap into Krishna consciousness, you are tapping into a reservoir of unlimited energy. Look at Prabhupada as a perfect example. He would sleep, 2 hours at night, from 10 till 12, he would take 2 hours and get up and translate. And after lunch, he'd take an hour and a half nap, and that was it. And he would go on these morning walks. An 80-year-old man, his 20-year-old disciples could hardly keep up with him. Prabhupada said that in a Krishna conscious person, he can, in an 80-year-old man, he can work with the energy of a young man. Why is that? Because we're tapping into the ultimate energy source, Krishna. When you give that service to Krishna, when you give that pleasure to Krishna, then you become totally energized. You become surcharged with spiritual energy. So this is what the whole world is looking for, actually. They're looking for something that will energize them. And they're taking all these artificial alternatives, which don't really work. Money, you know, so many things. So we have the real secret here. This is the fountain of youth that Ponce de Leon was looking for. It's right here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. How to tap into an unlimited reservoir of nectar, of bliss, of knowledge, of compassion, of all good qualities, all wonderful things, it's all here in Krishna consciousness. We don't have to go here and there to get some enlivenment, some nectar. Some people, they're very interested to watch the news, you see. They get home, they want to turn on the television and watch the news. You see, we have a different philosophy. Our philosophy is, why watch the news when you can be the news? Mm-hmm. Practicing Krishna consciousness, this is cutting edge stuff. You see. To actually be a spiritual revolutionary in the army of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bringing a new era to this planet, bringing in a new age of God consciousness to this planet. That's the most newsworthy thing. What they show now is just some boring old stuff. You know, it's the same old thing. Murders, rapes, the economy is going up, economy is going down. It's the same old wine, just in a new bottle. Different name, different place. It's the same thing. Car theft, you know, just it's all the same thing. It's just the same old rehashed thing. Mass murder, you know. There's nothing new, really, that you can hear in the news. But the real news, the real cutting-edge, exciting stuff, that is happening in the lives of the devotees. You see? Because they are coming in direct contact with God, the source of unlimited nectar, unlimited enlightenment, unlimited energy, unlimited compassion, etc., etc. They are coming in direct contact with that Supreme Lord by bowing down at His lotus feet in all humility and fully surrendering themselves unto Him. They are living in Krishna at every minute. So why study history when you can make history? Why live a boring, drab existence when you can be on the cutting edge of the greatest, what is it called? It's a word for it. Paradigm shift, yeah. The greatest paradigm shift in the history of the universe happening right now. The greatest paradigm shift in the history of the universe, and you can be on the cutting edge, the vanguard of that paradigm shift by taking up this mode of Krishna consciousness with all sincerity, with all determination, and all enthusiasm. So all you have to do is connect with Krishna. Chant His name, bow down before Him, make sure you eat food only that has been offered to Him. It's a simple thing. It all begins with the tongue. Jiva Do. Rupa Goswami says it all begins right here with the tongue. If you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, be careful what you do with your tongue. Just always watch your tongue. So make sure it's properly engaged. There's two rules. Only Krishna goes in, and only Krishna comes out. That's the rule. You should only be vibrating about Krishna, and you should only be putting Krishna prasad in. If you follow that rule that only Krishna is allowed in, and only Krishna is allowed out, then by properly disciplining your tongue in that way, you will penetrate through the coverings of the material world. You'll actually find yourself gradually, you will find yourself situated in the spiritual sky of Krishna. Prabhupada explains this in the Bhagavad Gita, that when you come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, what does that mean? Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Vata Bhij. What does it mean? It means you've been wandering for millions and millions of lifetimes all over the universe, the upper planets, lower planets, the middle planets, looping the loop around the Milky Way, you see. And now, somehow or other, you've come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. And what has he done? Through the medium of Shabda Brahman, transcendental sound vibration, he has injected within you the seed of bhakti through the ears. So, what do you do if you get a seed? Well, you can let it die. One thing you can do. Don't put that in the mouth. The mouth is dirty. What do you do if you get a seed? You can let it die, or you can find a nice, you can plant it very nicely. Actually, the guru, he plants the seed in the garden of your heart. So the seed is planted by the spiritual master. So now what will you do? You have a seed planted in your garden of your heart. Now what will you do? If you want that seed to fructify, then you have to water it regularly. Therefore, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. We always say, why 16 rounds? Because anything less than 16 rounds, the plant will not grow properly. It will not grow properly. That's the minimum amount of water to keep that plant thriving. 16 rounds. And there are also weeds you have to avoid. Illicit sex, meat-eating intoxication again. You have to make sure that those weeds are not present in the garden of the heart. And there's another thing Prabhupada explains, and that is called hati matta, the mad elephant offense. To become offensive towards Vaishnavas, that is a mad elephant that comes charging into your garden and tramples your creepers. So we have to be very careful to always be very, very respectful to the Vaishnavas. In fact, we should worship. That's the actual mood. Anande bolo hari bhaja vrindavan shi guru vaishnava pade majaya man. I should always worship the lotus feet of my spiritual master and the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. You see, every Vaishnava should be seen as worshipable by us. If we see like that, there'll be no question of Vaishnava for us. This person is the representative of Krishna. This person is very dear to Krishna. If I offend this person, that's even worse than offending Krishna. It's worse than going up on the altar and slapping the deity in the face. If I offend a Vaishnava, it's even worse. You see. So we have to be everything we can to not be offensive towards Vaishnavas, to always be very, very respectful and always give them loving service to the best of our ability and beg them for forgiveness if we're committing any offense. In this way, if we will cultivate very nicely that seed which the spiritual master plants in our hearts through the medium of transcendental sound vibration, then that seed, Prabhupada explains, that seed will travel through outer space, beyond the heavenly planets, through the thick coverings of this universe, all the way through the spiritual sky, the Vaikuntha planets, all the way to Krishna Loka, where it will entwine itself around the lotus feet of Sri Shivada and Krishna, and when it does so, then the full-blown fruit of love of God, Krishna Prema Momanta, the ultimate mango, you see, will then grow. Sweetest, most nectarian, delicious mango that you could ever conceive of will then manifest. The mango of pure love of God will manifest. So, this is what we should be up to. While we're going about our daily activities, we should be nurturing that bhakti lata bij, the seed of the devotional creeper. We should be taking very, 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 very good care of that seed of bhakti which has been planted in our heart by the spiritual master. And then, we will experience the most amazing thing of actually penetrating the covering of the universe and finding ourselves in Goloka Vrindavan, in right there with Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Can you imagine? To be in Goloka Vrindavan, to wake up one day in Goloka Vrindavan, in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Just imagine what a wonderful day that would be. Well, that day is awaiting you if you will follow this process, try to stay awake. Okay, good. Just making sure. That's why the yogis meditate with half-closed eyes. Because when we close our eyes all the way, even though we're awake, we might be falling asleep. That happens. That's why it's described the yogis will meditate with half-closed eyes, not fully closed eyes. So, I found that by giving many classes and noticing that some devotees are meditating in the class with fully closed eyes, I noticed that after a while they're like, So that's why I always try to make sure that everybody's eyes are not closed. Even though you may have been fully alert, I'm just playing it safe. Because I want you to get the full benefit. That's my... Please don't take it that I'm trying to lord it over you. I'm just trying to serve you nicely. Done out of love, not out of exploitation. So, in this way, if we can be very, very conscious of always taking good care of that bhakti lata bij, that seed which the spiritual master has planted in our heart, then we will find an amazing transformation throughout our life, day by day, week by week, year by year. When I look back at my consciousness now and where it was 30 years ago when I joined the Brahmachari Ashram in Asta. I mean, it's just incredible, the difference in consciousness. I never dreamed that things could be this sweet when I joined the movement. I knew it would be pretty good. You know, the Vishalam was great, the Kirtan. But I just never knew it could be this exciting. I never dreamed it could be as exciting, life could be as exciting as I'm tasting it now. This process really works. It really, really works. Just hang in there. Don't go away. Keep your rounds. Keep your vows you've made to your Guru Maharaj. Just stay in the process. If you're not initiated yet, get yourself in the loop to get initiated. You know, everybody get in the loop, follow the system that Rupa Goswami has given, and you'll be absolutely amazed what you'll get. What you'll get won't be the reward that you'll get. You'll be absolutely amazed. This is absolute. I knew Krishna consciousness was great, but I had no idea it was this great. That will come. But you have to be patient. It takes time. How long have we been in the cycle of birth and death? Trying to lord it over the material nature through 8,400,000 species. How long have we been here? You see? So don't think it's like an instant recovery. Some people think spiritual enlightenment is like a dab of lightning out of the blue. But it's not like that. It can happen in rare cases, but the general system is. It's like a beautiful sunrise on a sublime spring morning. It just comes very subtly, little by little by little. You see? It's completely dark, and then there's this slight glimmer of lightness, you see, appearing in the eastern horizon. You don't see the sun yet, but it's getting a little lighter, slowly, 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 slowly it comes. So that's what it's actually like to become Krishna conscious. It's like a sunrise. It doesn't come just wham all of a sudden. It comes slowly, 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 gradually. Use that to have faith in the process. Just think, well, don't think, well, I haven't seen Krishna face to face, eye to eye. I've been here for 6 months. I just got initiated and I still haven't seen Krishna face to face, eye to eye. Well, this process must not work. I'm going away, going back to illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. No. Be patient. Stick with it. Prabhupada ordered me. Now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So there is such a thing. It's not simply some hype. You actually will come to that point where you are directly able to see God with your own eyes. And you become completely pure devotee. So stay in the process, follow the instructions, and I absolutely guarantee you, you will achieve the result. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
Can you say anybody who is chanting the holy name, even one round, you should not thank him because he is like a guru?
What is it?
Anybody chanting, even one round, can we, if you say something, he is a devotee?
Anyone who even utters the name Hare Krishna one time is not an ordinary living entity. One time in their life they said Hare Krishna, they are not an ordinary soul. Even just one utterance of Hare Krishna. Or someone who smiled when they saw the Radha Yatra festival go by, they just smiled when they saw Lord Jagannath. These are not ordinary people. This bhakti is so powerful, even just some slight appreciation. Separate, they become recognized by Krishna as a special soul. Next question. Yes?
You were talking about how one day we'll see Krishna face to face. And I was just wondering about the deity form and the difference. Because we seem to be seeing Krishna face to face in this deity form.
Yes, we seem
far away from actually being
raised.
Prabhupada said
we
can see Krishna face to face. So seeing the deity.
Yes, we are already seeing that, isn't it? But there is a state where Krishna will personally come, just like he came to Dhruva Maharaj, Narada Muni, etc. There is that state.
Okay.
A neophyte can directly see Krishna as immediate. And there is a stage where you can actually, when you see the deity and you can actually reciprocate with the deity. The deity will talk with you, but the deity won't go on a walk with you. You know that Sakshi Gopa, story of Sakshi Gopa. The deity actually walked with his devotee all the way across India. And the deity went on a walk, a trek, to witness that the promise was made in his presence. So there are different, there are higher stages. The neophytes can see, but there are higher stages. I understood when I was with Prabhupada in Atlanta. I was standing on Prabhupada's right hand side. And he was looking at the deities. He said, they have big deities of Gaurinathai, just like you have big Gaurinathai deities. They have big Gaurinathai deities in Atlanta. Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have appeared in Atlanta. And I was looking and he was looking, but I knew that he was seeing quite differently than how I was seeing. See, I was seeing two deities. He was directly seeing Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So, yes, but there are different levels of seeing. We are seeing also by the mercy of the deity. We are directly seeing God. But there's more higher levels of where Krishna will personally reveal himself. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena, described by Ramaji. You understand? Does that answer your question? Questions more?
Okay, you said like you should stick to the process. The problems may come in the life as well. But you should speak to the process, and then the day will come that you will see Krishna.
Yes.
So, like, how we should deal with the problems that are coming from the
life? You said that problems will come, but we must stick to the process.
That's right.
So, how we deal with them when the problems come? Is that correct?
What do you do when the problems come?
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
What do you do when the problems come?
Yes. How do you deal with them?
How do you deal with them when they come? You have to see them as the mercy of Krishna. Not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Lord. So when some problem comes, you have to see Krishna has blessed me. I may not understand it. I may feel depressed about this setback. What I feel is a setback in my life, in my happiness. But actually, the fact is that everything that's going on is being orchestrated by the Lord to help you come closer and closer and closer to Him. If you have faith in that principle and see everything as the arrangement of the Lord to help you become more and more surrendered to Him, then there will be no reverses. You won't see any problems or reverses in your life. You will see nothing but an unlimited flow of blessings. At every minute. That's pretty ecstatic when one can reach that vision. So we have to train ourselves. That means that you can never become unhappy in that state. You never feel morose. It's described, Vaya Sparshesha Saptatma, Vindat Yatmani Yat Sukham, Sabrahma Yuga Yoktatma, Sukham Akshayam Ashmite. In this way, the liberated person is in a state of trance, always meditating, always enjoying the bliss within. Such an enlightened being enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. So it's actually a very desirable state to be in. It's called Krishna consciousness. To where nothing can disturb you because you're feeling, you're tasting the bliss of Krishna consciousness within your heart every minute. Seeing everything is Krishna's mercy, everything that's coming to you is all the mercy of Krishna. So how to get to that state? You have to chant good vows, follow the principles, become initiated, follow the spiritual master with love and devotion, follow the instructions, cooperate with the your whatever service the devotees engage you in, do have nice relationships with devotees, follow the standard system and you know that, then you will actually be able to, Sabrahma, Yoga, Yudhatma, you will be able to fully concentrate yourself on Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, and every minute your mind will be completely, solidly fixed to His lotus feet. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Any other question? Yes.
As devotees, we come here with many impurities. We come here with impurities.
Talk about giving and receiving love amongst devotees, even if we're here for a few years and we're still new. So can you talk about how these impurities affect our relationships? Make it difficult to have good relationships. There's different impurities. Lust is one. Anger is another one. Greed is another one. Illusion, madness, envy. These are various impurities that are enemies. These impurities make it very hard for us to have good relationships. Instead, I should be thinking of serving them, you see. But in greed, I may think, well, how can I use this person for my own advantage? How can I take advantage of her for my own personal enjoyment? That's greed, that's luck. So those things make it very hard to have good relationships. What we have to do to become free from these enemies, these impurities, is really try to always serve the devotees. Always think, how can I serve this person? How can I help this person to advance in Krishna consciousness? We're always in that mood of service, you see. That's why we address very respectfully. We call it Prabhu, we call it Mataji, you see. They are master. The mother is the master of the children. She is the Prabhu of the children, the mother. So we respect, we address all the devotees like that. We say Prabhu, we say Mataji. Because this means they are my master. I am his servant. So, in this way, we always try to put ourselves in that mood that I am your servant. And by that service mood, then the impurities can go away gradually. The key is always try to serve the devotees. Yeah?
Just one more. Do you think we should abstain from being too personal with each other if we have these impurities?
Do you think it is difficult to stay together when we have all these impurities?
Is it difficult?
Should we abstain from
being
personal
closeness
between each other?
She says, to stay away from this closeness when we have the impurities.
Should we stay away?
Well, see, that's in a way,
it's like sometimes the Miyasandhiyavai thinks, well, I'm committing so many offenses here in the society of devotees, it's better I just go off on my own and be a hermit. Some people say that. I'm not saying you, but I'm saying some people say like that, that I think I should just go away because whenever I'm like a bull in a china shop, you know, whatever I do, I seem to be, you know, causing disturbance. So maybe I just better go away and practice Krishna consciousness on my own. But the problem is, it's said that man is a social animal. We human beings, you see, we're social animals by nature. We need society. And therefore, if we don't live in the society of devotees, we will naturally then gravitate towards the society of non-devotees. So even though it's very tough sometimes, it seems like a very frustrating thing, difficult for us sometimes, how to get along with society of devotees. We really just have to pray to Krishna to help us. Because that's really our only hope. We have to learn how to become a part of a spiritual family. Otherwise we'll just be back tossing in the waves of the material ocean, drowning in the material ocean once again.
But how can we get real love if if we are impure, we can't receive or give pure love. So then how can we have good relationships?
If I'm impure, then how I can have a good relationship? Here's the beauty of the practice of Krishna consciousness. And I'll give you a graphic example in this connection. One of the loving activities that a disciple does when he sees his spiritual master is he offers his obeisances. That's a loving exchange, an offering of love to the spiritual master. That I am your servant, I'm bowing down at your feet. That is an offering of love. So in the early days, the 26th Second Avenue, at that time, Prabhupada was called Swamiji. So one of the young boys, he became Gargamuni Das. When Prabhupada and Swamiji would come into the small storefront there from his apartment, everybody would bow down and offer obeisances. But Greg, or Gargamuni, he would not. He would just sit there and Prabhupada, he wouldn't bow down. And then during the questions and answers, he said, Swamiji, when you enter the room, everyone bows down, but for me it doesn't feel natural. So is that all right if I don't bow down, Swamiji? So Prabhupada said, you should bow down. So by that bowing down, then the feeling will come. So right now, you don't feel like bowing down to the body. You don't feel like being, it feels artificial for you, isn't it? Very artificial, but you should do it. Just force yourself to be nice, even though you don't want to be nice sometimes. You're very nice, I know. We've spoken. You're a very nice person. But all of us go through the difficulty. Sometimes we're in a mood where it's hard for us to be nice, you know, especially when we're young devotees. So you may be facing that difficulty sometimes. You just don't feel like being nice. It's, you know. So just do it anyway. Even just like you're an actress on a stage. And what Gargamuni experienced was that because, you see, that within your heart, your real tendency is, your natural original tendency is to be pure in your loving feeling towards all living beings, seeing them as part and parcel of Krishna. By nature, your original pure nature is to be a completely loving person. That's your original pure nature. Right now, we're simply covered by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy. These are artificial coverings. They're not you. You're actually a pure devotee. But you're just some clouds are covering yourself. But if you just, the process of sadhana bhakti means you go through the motions. I don't really love Krishna, but I still, I go and offer him a lunch, even though I'd rather just feed myself. You see? Because that is sadhana bhakti. You don't really feel like being nice to that devotee. You feel like telling them to get lost. But you do it anyway. Because that is the process of sadhana bhakti. Just like an actress on the stage. Put on your smile and be nice, be friendly. Talk in a nice way. Talk with a loving voice also. Just do everything, even just if it feels completely artificial. And you know what will happen? The real, genuine love, that will start to wake up. It's been sleeping in your heart for millions of lifetimes. It'll start to wake up and go, wow. This is wonderful. And then it'll become natural. And then you'll just become instead of being a Kanishta who can't respect devotees, you'll become a Madhyama Adhikari. You'll have feelings of love for all the devotees. It'll gradually. See, Kanishta Adhikari means can't respect the devotees. Can't have loving, doesn't know how to have loving relationships. That is called Kanishta Adhikari. Neophyte, or practically materialistic devotee sometimes. But just by being a good sadhaka, following the instructions that you receive from senior Vaishnavas, faithfully following the instructions, just like a patient, the doctor gives the prescription. You take this medicine, you follow this diet, you just do it. Even though it tastes horrible, the medicine is bitter. But if you follow the instructions of the physician, then lo and behold, you start healing. You start awakening spiritually. So just hang in there, even if it feels artificial, just hang in there and be as kind and loving as you possibly can be to all the devotees. And you'll wake up one day and find you've actually become a Majjhimanika. You've had complete love and respect for all the devotees. And it becomes natural to serve them. Is that alright? Alright, next question. Everybody's satisfied now? Ready to dedicate themselves fully to becoming a pure devotee as soon as possible? Perfect that chanting, perfect that service, perfect every aspect of your devotional life. Everyone's ready to go for it now. Alright. With all full blessings, now go forward. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Tara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Sankarsana Prabhu ki jai.